Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you to be here today, Lord. And as we open the word, God, we ask by your Spirit that you would anoint what is done here, Lord. Lord, every bit of success that's ever happened from the opening of your word has been because of your Spirit, God. And we ask that once again you would be with us today by your Spirit, that this time would be a success in our hearts and in our souls, Lord. Help us to open up and receive what you see we need. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk today a little bit about mistaken identity. So, thinking a little bit about this, actually the Lord woke me up this morning thinking about this, and some situations in life where maybe this has happened. I know there's a story told about my grandmother Annie that I'll share with you this morning, and I'm just going to tell it like it was told to me. My granddaddy Willard was looked a whole lot like another person in our church. And one day after church, that person was down there in Gina, and actually was a preacher, had been preaching, and they were standing out talking after church a little bit, and Grandmother Annie got to a point where she felt like it was time to go, and so she walked up behind Granddaddy Willard, she thought, and took him by the arm and said, "Let's go." And when she did, she found out it wasn't Granddaddy Willard. It was Brother Archie, actually Souter, I think was his name. And they looked somewhat similar. And, of course, she was very embarrassed and was not at all what she meant to do. But she had misidentified who that was. And so that's a little bit of a story about mistaken identity. And then I have to tell on myself a little bit that, you know, at work, I felt like the Lord impressed me to learn the names of people. And it's been a very good thing. God seems to have helped me to learn numerous names very quickly and to actually be accurate with them for the most part. But I've had a couple of people who looked at me a little weird every time I would call their name. And after several months of calling their name, I realized that I wasn't calling the right name. And that's probably why they were looking at me a little strange. One particular nurse who comes up there, her name is Jody, but for several months I called her Courtney, and even after I found out that what her name really was, I still struggled calling her Courtney. And you know, that wasn't, you know, you wonder why sometimes I wasn't even getting a response. Maybe if I saw her across the way and I said, "Hey Courtney, how are you doing today?" Well, maybe there'd be no response. Well, there's a reason for that, because I've misidentified who she is and I'm calling her by the wrong name. You know, mistaken identity is never a good thing. Let's look at Revelations, the third chapter. And we have the story here of a church that I believe has dealt with this just a little bit. The first verse of this chapter says, "Unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." He that knows everything about God and who he is, because he's right there in his presence. He says, "I know thou works, and that thou hast a name that thou livest, but are dead." And I think about this church, and I think about how they were evidently not someone who rejected the name of Christ. But somehow along the way, they had done something, and they had misidentified who he really was. And they got to a point where they were still calling themselves by that name, but the Lord looked on and said, "That's not who you are. You've missed the boat here somehow. You've misidentified who I was, and in some way you went after something that wasn't me. And now, and while you proclaim the name, there's none of me in who you are." And so he tells them, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. You know, an interesting fact right here in particular is that Courtney, Jody, has a name tag. And if I was careful enough to really see that name tag, I could have known sooner that I wasn't calling her by the right name, that I had the wrong name. You know, the Lord's saying here, watch. It's not that we don't have to sit here and go, well, how am I going to know how to know who the Lord is? It's not an impossibility. It's a simple, but it takes watching. It's not hard for me to look at a name tag and realize, wait a minute, that's not the same as the name I'm calling that person. All right, that's something I can do. But I either got assured of myself that I just knew and I had it right, and no matter all the strange looks I got along the way, the little things that kind of pricked me to say, you know, something doesn't seem quite right, or the times where I'd call that name and she wouldn't turn and say, oh, hey, you know, she's a friendly person, but she wouldn't turn and say, hey, well, something's not right. And I just kept on calling that name. You know, there's pricks the Lord gives us, but we can pass them right over if we're not careful to watch. It's important to make sure what we're calling Christ is matching up with Christ. All right, the Lord's not going to abandon you, but he's not going to sit here and hit you with a hammer and say, you know, you imagine if the first time I called Jody Courtney, she came up and knocked me in the head with a hammer, and when I woke up, she said, that's not my name. Well, I'd get a message very clearly then, right? I mean, I'd be like, she's serious about this, and I need to call her by the right name, make sure I've got it right. You know, the Lord's not going to do that to you. He's going to give you signs. There's going to be things to pick on, but you and I are going to have to watch and be careful that what we're calling Christ is Christ in our life. You know, there's some people who will see a snake and they'll say, okay, that one's okay, you know, it's just fine, don't worry about it. And how do they know that? Well, they looked at the head of this animal somehow, and I'm not doubting people who can do this, but I'm gonna speak from my experience. They're looking at the head of this animal and they're saying, okay, that one's fine. You know, somewhere along the way, these people of Sardis didn't look close enough. Or they looked and they thought they saw something and it wasn't right. There are identifying things about snakes to be able to know if one's poisonous or not, but it takes really knowing what you're doing, and it takes looking carefully at that snake. And somewhere along the way, they hadn't taken enough time to do that. Maybe they met one that they just weren't quite sure about, and they went ahead and just picked it up. You know, if you see a snake laying in the ground and you're not sure if it's a poisonous one or not, what's the smartest thing to do?
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone. Get away from it. All right. If you don't know, then don't mess with it. Well, why won't you mess with this snake? There's nothing wrong with this snake. See, well, I wasn't sure, so I stayed back. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not being hyper-religious. You're worried about your soul. And you're saying, you know, the most important thing to me is that thing doesn't bite me and end up being a poisonous snake. So until I'm sure about that snake, which personally I don't think you really need to pick up any snakes, but, you know, until I'm sure about that snake, I'm not picking that one up. There's no reason to. I'm not going to say, well, let me see if it's poisonous or not and hold it up in the air. No, don't do that. Your life will go on just fine without you picking up that snake. And you know, this morning, if there's something that you're not sure, you're like, well, it could be Christ. I mean, it may not be Christ. I'm not sure about it. Don't go picking it up to see if it's Christ or not. Wait until you know. There's nothing wrong. Your life will go on just fine. You're not going to miss out on something by leaving something alone that you're not sure about in your life. Be careful. Be careful. You know, you're dealing with eternal ramifications here. And you don't want to make a mistake like that. That you so easily could have just walked by and said, you know what, until I know, I'm leaving it alone. Be careful that you don't get bit by mistaken identity. It's not worth it. It's absolutely not worth it. You know, I remember Mike Whitehead talking about the plants in the woods and all, and it was so interesting. If you ever get a chance to walk with Mike Whitehead, if you haven't, through woods, it's a great experience. He knows plants. He's put a lot of study into it, and he knows them. And I remember one of the things him telling me, and I, I'll try to relate it as best I can. Maybe y'all have heard him tell you the same things. Most of us here know who that is. But he said that for every plant that it's okay to eat in the woods, there's one that looks a lot like it, almost identical, that's not okay. He said there are absolutely signs that you can look at. And if you know, once again, if you know what you're looking for, you can look at a plant and tell whether it's poisonous or not. But if you don't know, if you're taking a guess, that's not a good plan. There are things that you can look at it and say, well, that one's okay to eat and that one's not. If you know, if you've studied enough, if you look at it and you see, then you can tell the difference between the two. But once again, is it worth it? Are you going to be okay if you walk on by that plant? Or is your life going to be completely wrecked because you didn't stop and take a taste of that plant in life? No matter how many eggs and steak you have on down the road, you're always going to regret not taking a bite of that plant. You know what? Sometimes we're kind of like that spiritually. Well, I know there's so many eggs and steaks, so to speak, spiritually, and maybe just in life ahead of me. There's so many things to enjoy. But if I don't walk over and take a bite of this plant and just see, then I'm not ever going to be able to get over it. All the rest of my life, I'm going to worry about that plant I walk by. You know, that's really silly, but that's how it is with us sometimes in this world. All the things in front of us that God has given us to enjoy. And there's one thing over here that we look at it and we go, well, it could be a plant that's okay to eat, but it might not be. And Lord, help us not to be so foolish as say, I can't walk by this without seeing. I'm going to have to take a test of it and see if I end up living or dying. And then I'll go on with my life and I'll be okay and I'll be happy. But if I don't take a taste of this, I'll never die. You know, the Lord has so much in front of us. You're going to be just fine to pass that plant up. And if you come by it later and you've got a little more study and you can see clearly and you know the difference between the two, well, that's a whole different ball game. But there's no reason to go and take a taste test to see if something's poisonous or not. Get the information first at least. And even at that, you're going to be fine to walk on. There's so many more things to enjoy in life. Lord, help us not to get taken by a case of mistaken identity. You know, Satan has substitutes. Everything that God does in life and gives us to enjoy, he has these substitutes that he puts alongside it for us to try to see. He works his way into just about everything in life. You know, the Lord is faithful to always have a thing there where you can recognize the difference. But the safest thing to do a lot of times is just pass something by until you're sure. Absolutely, until you're sure. Until you know you're not going to mistake the identity of this. Until the Lord shows you clearly, here's the line between these things. Lord, help us. There are a lot of issues in life that come down to this point. Down to a willingness to pass something by until I know and I can see clearly the line that divides between the poison and what's good and healthy to eat.
Yes.
Lord, help us. It's that so many times we're not willing. I see it now. I can't wait until the Lord shows me clearly where the line is on this thing. I've got to go make a decision right now by myself and draw the line myself instead of just passing on saying, Lord, until you take this thing and you draw a line between it clearly where it needs to be, I have nothing to do with it. Somebody else might say, well, but it's okay. You know, I've done this and you know what? That's great. I hope you can see clearly the line between the two and that's what's going on. But in my life, I cannot clearly see yet where this line is. I do not feel assurance in my heart about this thing. Therefore, I'm just passing it by until the Lord is faithful to show me where that line is. Lord, help us. It's not that we're trying to run from life in every direction, but I have no desire to mistakenly to partake of something that's going to kill my soul. It's just not worth it. I'd rather just miss out on everything in life and make it to heaven when it comes down to it. And the truth is that already I know that that's not how it's going to be. God has given me already so many things to enjoy. And everybody in this room already has received so many things from God already in your life that if you didn't get anything else, you could enjoy this life where you are now. and the life you're living. You absolutely could. It's that the things that I don't know yet, the things that I want that I haven't got a chance to take a bite of yet in life that bother me. It's not the things I have are somehow insufficient. It's that the things out there, I haven't got to take a bite of them yet. Be careful in our lives. It's not worth it to end up biting something that's going to kill you. You know, a little spider just ran across my Bible. I don't know if it's poisonous or not, but I sure enough took care of it right there in a moment. It may not have been poisonous. That might have been fine, but, and I know it wasn't. I'm sure about that one. All the same, I took care of it. You know, don't play around with things in your life. It's not worth it. That's not where you're going to find the joy anyways. It's going to be so many times that you hit something that is poisonous and you find yourself, and if somehow the Lord rescues you from that place, well, then you're back out of it. But the effects of that are not worth it in life. It's not worth it to spend that time playing around with those things. You know, Joshua 5 and 13 is a story we've talked about before. I'll turn over there and read it right now. And I want to think about being careful about what we give the Lord's name to in life. And, you know, we can, without thinking about it, we can begin to give the Lord's name to a lot of things in life. We can give the Lord's name to our politics. We can give the Lord's name to our music, to our entertainment. We can give the Lord's name to our reading. We can give the Lord's name to just so many things in life that we can just assign the Lord's name to. You know, be careful. Don't get taken by a mistaken identity. Let the Lord show you clearly where he is and where he isn't. All right? Joshua here. Now, if you know where this story is, you kind of know the background of it. But let's go over it just a minute. The Lord had rescued all of his people out of Israel. Out of Egypt. He had led them across the Red Sea and drowned all the Egyptians in the Red Sea. He had led them through the wilderness. They had seen his mighty works and all these things, that God was with them and was leading them and guiding them and working miracles in their life. And you know, there's a little bit here where I believe Joshua was kind of assigning the name of the Lord to himself and to his people in a way that was a little bit off, was a little bit of a case of mistaken identity of just who they were. And it says here, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, and there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now, when Joshua said it, these were the two options. These are the only two options that Joshua saw. All right, and we've talked about this before, but the Lord brought this back to me to share this morning. And so when Joshua said us, who do you think Joshua had the Lord assigned to? I don't think he had the Lord assigned to his adversaries. He had the Lord assigned to himself in a way that God wasn't quite okay with. There needed to be some understanding given to Joshua to be able to see clearly what the situation was and who the Lord was. And so this man said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said, what saith my Lord unto his servant? You know, you are not Jesus. The Lord, if you are his child, he is with you. He is with you all the way, but you're not Jesus and I'm not Jesus. He is who he is. And the question is, are we his? Are we fully in his control? What happens sometimes is we begin assigning the Lord to our own thoughts and our own decisions. And Lord, help us to be so careful, because that's not who he is. The question is not, is he with us, but are we with him? He said, the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. There will never be a time where we've got what it takes to be God, to be Jesus. We know that. If I'm saying that aloud, and we all would say, well, of course not. But where we're going to prove it and where we're going to be careful about it to make sure that we don't mistakenly identify the Lord as us is in our actions. Do we remember that we're on holy ground? Right now, you and I, as we stand here today, physically, if that's how you've got to think about it, whatever. But get the picture that you are standing on holy ground. Your life is not your own. If it is Christ, then you are not your own this morning. It's not left up to you to decide what's okay and what's not in your life. That's why you have to wait until the Lord shows you clearly who he is and who he isn't, or you're going to mistakenly identify who Christ is. And you're going to find yourself picking up snakes that you thought weren't poisonous. You're going to find yourself taking a bite of a plant that you thought was okay. You're going to find yourself putting your arm in the arm of somebody that you thought was Jesus. You're going to find yourself hollering his name, and you're not getting reactions in your life the way you thought you needed to. Lord, help us. We're on holy ground. This is the Lord's ground. Your life is the Lord's ground. If you're going to be his, then you're going to have to be his. All right? You're going to have to give that to him completely, day by day, all the time. Psalms 50. And I'm going to read some verses here, and there are a group of people, and as we read through them, you're going to be like, how could this people ever think that they were okay? That somehow they could think possibly that God was with them in what they are doing. But if you really think about it, this happens to varying degrees. This happens. Now, what we're going to read here is kind of the worst degree, but it all heads in the same direction, okay? It says, "But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou should take my covenant in your mouth?" Get a hold of that. He's speaking to a group of people that are not like him, but yet are still taking his statutes, declaring his statutes, and are taking his covenant in their mouth. There's a disconnect here. How does that happen? All right? "Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him and hast been partakers with adulterers." How would that happen? Mistaken identity. All right? Just keep that thought in your mind as we read through this. "Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue framest deceit. Thou sittest and speakest slander against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's tongue." You know, this happened gradually. It almost always happens gradually when it's this kind of a situation. Now, there are people who just reject God and do all this, but he's talking to a people that still, even at this place, are declaring his statutes and taking his covenant in their mouth. But somehow they've got so far off course. All right? "And the Lord said to them, these things hast thou done, and I kept silent. You began this way." The signs were there. I mean, you started messing with things that you shouldn't have been messing with. You weren't being careful enough to make sure that you didn't mistakenly identify something. You couldn't just pass stuff up. You had to start partaking of it little by little. And because the Lord's saying, because I kept silent, you just assumed that I was with you. Oh, there's such a message there. Lord, help us to be careful to watch. And if we're not sure about something, don't be picking it up and checking it out. Because here's where it leads. All right? He said, "Because I was silent, these things thou hast done, and I kept silent. And thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself." Because, the Lord said, because I just kept silent and watched you sit there and pick up things that you had no need of. Everything you needed was right in front of you, but you began picking them up one by one. And as I just kept silent, you just said, oh, okay, Well, I know the word of the Lord, the statutes I'm declaring are against these things. But hey, you know, nothing happened. And because the Lord kept silent, they just assumed, hey, you're with us. I know you say this thing, but you didn't say anything, so I guess everything's okay now. And here we are, partaking with adulterers, consenting with thieves, giving our mouth to evil, and the Lord still hadn't said anything. So it must be okay. Watch what you know, guard your heart. If you don't know, stay away from it. Don't partake in it. Don't be caught by a case of mistaken identity. All right? It says, these things thou hast done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. The Lord knows in his wisdom why he didn't just hit them with the hammer over the head the first time they put their hand out and took something. Whatever the case might be, that's not the way the Lord works. That's part of the warning this morning. You might say, well, surely he'll hit me over the head. I'll reach out toward this thing, and if he smacks my hand, then I know I'm not supposed to do it. You need to know before you reach out if that thing's okay with the Lord or not. You need to have him show you clearly before you reach your hand out, because you know what's happening there? You're demonstrating a humility, a humbleness, that the ground you walk on is holy, and that if the Lord doesn't show you to do something, you're not going to go that way. What he's shown you to do is where you're going to live and stay, because this ground is holy, and I don't know what to do if the Lord doesn't show me. All right? But you start reaching your hand out, don't expect the Lord to smack you. All right? And it says, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces. And don't you see how that's what's happening? When we begin to sit here and go, well, let's see. We forget God. What do we forget about God? We forget that we're his, that we don't have any business reaching out unless he shows us this is fine, this is clear. We forget that he exists, that he has the capability of saying, yes, this is okay, or no, this is not. We forget that he can speak. He doesn't have to just demolish us in order to get a message through to us. He can speak to us. That's what he says to me, where he said, be not like the mule that I've got to put a bridle in, yank this way and yank this way. God is looking for a people who will listen, who he can teach what to do and what not to do. In your life, don't try to just put a hand out there and see what happens. Let the Lord teach you. Seek the Lord about things. You see something, then instead of doing that, start seeking the Lord about it. Say, Lord, what is this thing? Show me what I should do. Lord, you're alive. You said you wanted to teach me. So now it's incumbent upon you to teach me, because I'm not putting my hands out. I'm looking to you to try to understand this thing, to see where the line is on this. I'm seeking you about it in my life. All right? I fully believe the Lord will show you, if you're willing to completely commit it to him. Not like, well, Lord, show me by Friday. I've got to know by Friday. If I know by Friday, then I'm not going to reach my hand out. But by Friday, if you haven't shown me what to do about this thing, then I'm going to put my hand on it and see what happens. You know what? That's not the way to live our lives. Let the Lord show you. He knows the time when you need to know what you need to know about that. And you can leave it alone. You could just leave it alone. There's no problem. The snake will be fine. You know, it'll go its way. You can go on your way, and there's no issue there if it passes you by. Let the Lord, let your ground be holy that you're walking on. Let it be completely committed to the Lord for him to show you what to do and what not to do in your life. All right? There's so many things that we don't realize until later on when we look back down the road we traveled. And if we've committed it to the Lord, then we begin to understand some of the reasons why we didn't feel clear about doing something in our life, one thing or another. But it says, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. I don't want to get to that stage in my life. I have no desire to learn my lessons that way. And you might say, well, we might kick and buck against that. And all. Okay, you're going to have to decide. Is God God? And if this is the way he is, then I don't want to end up in that place. So I want to listen to him. I want to do it his way so that I don't end up in this kind of place having to learn my lessons this way. All right? Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me. to him that ordereth his conversation or his manner of behavior, his way of life aright, will I show the salvation of God. There's a little message right here. He that's willing to count this ground holy that he stands on, to realize I haven't stuck my name on him for him to go and figure things out, but I've shown him my path for him to stand in the middle of it and allow me to teach him. That's what the Lord's saying, basically, in that passage right there. He that ordereth his conversation aright, that looks to me and does what I show him, is not over here trying to handle his life himself, but is seeking me about his life and about what to do. I will show him my salvation. I will show him clearly what to do. I will draw the lines for him in life. We don't have to worry that God's not going to come through in time on something, and somehow we're going to miss some great thing in our life. The Lord will come through in time, and he will show us clearly if we seek him and give him all of that control. No deadlines, no time. If you've got deadlines on the Lord, then you haven't given it to him. You're not walking on holy ground. You haven't taken your shoes off if you got deadlines on the Lord. The Lord knows everything. He knows how all everything needs to work out in your life. And you can trust him with it completely. You know, Philippians 2 and 12. You know, verses we're spinning over here that I think about is how all things work together for good to them that are the called according to his purpose. But Philippians 2 and 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Over here, but no, just let the Lord have control. Let him work these things out. Let him build the vessel he's trying to build in your life. 1 John 4 and 1. says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Though Satan has his substitutions. Don't just believe, well, this is good. There's so many lessons right here. Lord, help me to share what we need to this morning. But what I feel like the Lord wants us out of this verse is to say, this ground is holy. My shoes are off. Lord, I'll allow in here what you show me is clear and clean. I'll allow in here what you say is your spirit. Lord, because there are many options out here. Satan's got his substitution, and I'm not able to recognize what's what. Lord, you're going to have to show me. And that's how we try the spirits in the world. All right? Hebrews 12. Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 18th verse. And it says, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor with blackness, darkness, and tempest. It's not, you know, those people, they could see that mountain. They knew exactly where it was, and they knew exactly where they weren't supposed to come to. They knew where, if they came to this point on the mountain, guess what was going to happen? They could see that spot with their physical eyes and know to stay away from there. That's not the mountain we've come to, all right? All right, and it goes on and mentions it. It says, but you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just man made perfect. Which one of those can you see with your eyes? Which one of those do you not need God to show you where the line is? You know, I know this is carried on for a lot of things, but today I believe this is what God wants us to get out of these verses. This is a spiritual kingdom. You are not going to be able to make these decisions. And if you walk through life just reaching out and touching something to see what happens, then you're going to have a lot of problems. You're going to pick up, like we've talked about, all these other issues, the snakes, the poisonous plants, a lot of things are going to happen. You're going to have the Lord. You're going to have to wait and let Him show you the lines in your life. Show you where to draw them and to know what is safe and what is not. So whatever you're doing, wherever you are in life, seek the Lord. Don't reach out just in yourself. Don't just try stuff. Let the Lord show you what's good and what's holy. And then follow it. God's got so much for you in life, for all of us. Still, His joys are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. The Lord is continuing to create things for us to enjoy in life, and He will for the rest of our life. The greatest joys are found in knowing that this is holy ground. Look at all the victories Joshua got. Look at the great victory that came. That was on the plains of Jericho, and the walls fell down. All right? You want to see some things happen in life, then take off your shoes and commit your ways completely to the Lord in your life. You pray for me.